Welcome to another exciting edition of Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Robert Winters.
And I'm Judy Nathan.
And today is June, what the hell, 15th, the Ides of June? Something like that.
It's not
Beware the Ides of June.
Yeah, well, it's a big day across the country because June 15th, like California, even here, it's been like, hey, the pandemic, you don't have to wear masks unless you're in certain situations.
It is like
you're not vaccinated. Yeah.
You know, I don't know if they could planned it exactly this way, but actually, this is like the third day running, like zero new cases in Cambridge.
Oh, more than that, because I think it was zero even last week.
You know, it actually went up and then dropped one.
New cases. Yeah. New cases is different than deaths. Okay, there's deaths for a while. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I'm not,
for the most part, I'm not super eager to sort of be looking at all the computer things here.
Yeah.
But you remember that phrase a while back, a year ago when they talked about flattening the curve?
Are you going to show us something now? There you go.
It should be there now, right?
Still looks like it's right on the same level, though.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe we're not seeing it then. Okay, well, all right.
Well, you have it up to today.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, it's pretty much for the last 3 days. It's like 6052, 6052, 6052.
It just
hasn't budged, you know.
It's flattening the curve. Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, just in terms of things just disappearing, they're disappearing. Yeah. We are now down to 0.7 is
That's
the 7 day per day
yeah.
is the 7 day average. So.
And I think the state average is pretty good too.
It's doing great. And, so there are lots of things to celebrate, you know.
Yeah.
It's like the timing worked out pretty well. So that number is like just dwindling away to essentially nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Today is the first day that officially many of the city buildings are starting to sort of be open. There is a bit of a schedule.
I think you have to wear a mask if you go in them.
Recommended if you're not vaccinated, it's the usual protocol.
Really? Because I know libraries are probably going to have to be masked because they're concerned about kids, I guess, because the kids.
True. So they may have their own rules for that reason. But I believe the planning board meeting, which begins in 28 minutes, is it live in person.
Is it?
At the Sullivan
Chamber,
they said cancel the Zoom link.
Wait a minute,
I think you can still do the Zoom link for public comment.
Why is it that you have their own meeting space? Why is it at Sullivan?
I think just because of the technical capabilities in terms of allowing Zoom in calls and whatever.
It's not the zoning appeal. It's planning board, not the zoning.
Planning board.
Because I know they use that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was thinking about just because they're friends.
Yeah.
Going to there's an election commission meeting, I believe, tomorrow.
And that's live, in person?
In person.
Wow.
And I just want to go there just to say hello, everybody.
Sure.
Yeah. So
is there anything really hot on the agenda tonight for the planning board?
Honestly, if there is, I've kind of just sort of let
it
fly.
I'm just wondering if they're going to get a lot of public comment.
Though. Yes, there probably will be because I have mixed feelings about it, but there was a project at the Gas Electric Light Building at Temple and Mass Ave, which
they want to have that be a hotel, don't they?
They're building a boutique hotel
back
of it.
Do they really need that? They probably planned this before all this.
You know, I don't think they'd build it if they absolutely believed it was going to be a profit loss.
They must know something. Hello, there's one right down the street and there's one in Harvard Square. There's lots of them.
And the controversy about that one, not that I was going to dodge off in this direction necessarily, but is that the way it is proposed, from an architectural point of view, it's quite interesting. But the thing is that the way the massing would work with the step back at Mass Ave is it would be basically a few extra stories toward the back, which is abuts Cambridge Housing Authority building that was added in where the old pool used to be, YWCA pool.
Right.
And, so now the uproar is that this is, you're basically, you know, casting this housing into shadow, which I find and I'm sympathetic to it because,
All right. I'm a little, I should know this. There's no more Women's Y. It's all housing now.
No.
Affordable housing.
It's still the YWCA, okay. But they have a contract to put up, with various state right. agencies and whatever.
Right.
But the thing is they built on where the YWCA had a pool on
Temple Street. Well, I know. I learned to swim there about 30
years. Yeah, and it was abandoned for 20 years or something, and then they put in housing there. So, mm-hmm. And then a few years later, they're going to cast some of this into shadow, and people are casting it as a question of environmental justice. The thing is, if you're a lower income person who's put in a position where that's your only housing option, shouldn't you enjoy the same kind of rights?
The argument about the place in Porter Square, which is an affordable housing complex being built next to a senior affordable, they're still complaining about it. So I wonder.
There's a similar argument. Always, exactly.
Yeah, I know, but you can't say it's because the rich are taking over.
There's an emergent issue that I don't think is going to get properly addressed no matter what. You saw it with the affordable housing overlay. You saw it with the tree protection ordinance that they were discussing the other day. Roofs petition,
right?
Which is that basically, if you are in any sort of however you choose to define affordable housing, development. That somehow you don't have any right to trees. There shouldn't be any trees there because it might block the building of more units.
But right? Why don't you ask the people that want to live there?
Listen, but then you can make that argument pretty much anywhere too,
I know that happened in Bunker Hill with the, it pitted the environmentalists against the people that were going to get new apartments.
Yeah, but if I wanted to build up market rate housing in a particular place and somebody, the abutters said, you can't do this. Well, what about the people who want to live there? You can make that case universally.
I know, but this is like butting against, I don't know. I mean, I know there's something going on. I don't want to go into
it. There is a kind of a two-tiered notion about environmental righteousness going on here. Yeah. And people are playing it politically, which I don't think is great, but it's emergent. I think it's worth noting that it's becoming more and more of an issue. You're going to start to hear that term when I think environmental justice, I think of highways
toxic being waste built, dumps. Right.
Well, toxic or, waste dumps,
right.
Highways being built down the middle of poor neighborhoods.
A little more serious.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's like the serious stuff.
Yeah.
But, in terms of having some kind of parity, I mean, there was a city council order at a council meeting last night talking about access to open space for particular neighborhoods and how the neighborhoods that tend to support greater percentages of affordable housing tend to have the least amount of green space or open space. So I think it's a legitimate discussion where it goes. And from these particular people who are making the decisions, I don't know that it goes anywhere good. But
Danby's Park, you have Fresh Pond Reservoir, have the whole part out that, Alewife, I don't know.
When somebody tries to make an issue about lack of access to open space in the western parts of, I like to call it the leafy burbs of Cambridge.
Yeah, really.
I think the argument kind of falls a bit flat because you're not that far. I mean, there are the people who are arguing why Fresh Pond Golf Course ought to be turned into a park. And I think you don't have Fresh Pond and Danny Park out there. Come on, I'm over here in mid Cambridge. What do we got? A tot lot?
I know. So, well, you can walk, people, you have to walk people or bike or, you can walk and you have the river. We have the Charles River. What a resource.
I know. But
when it runs the whole,
I agree. And that is an absolutely legitimate open space resource.
Yeah.
I served on the Green Ribbon Open Space Committee. And, the issue then, and that was over 20 years ago, was really about getting some kind of reasonable distribution of access to open space and playing fields in all the neighborhoods of the city. Some are very underserved, some are just filled with it, honestly, it's not a problem that's solvable unless you want to start bulldozing down houses and creating parks. I don't think it's going to happen. So some of this is what people just going to have to live with,
Have you heard anything about Walden Square 2 and people's concerns about that, where they want to build 100? It's wind management. I mean, they own.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard about it.
I've looked at the drawings, and I guess the people that don't like it are your usual, people. But because it goes over the Yerxa Pass, I mean, it is near open space there.
I think to me, one of the more interesting things.
And they own the lot. I mean, they own that space.
Okay,
it's already got public housing on it.
So I will make an assertion now, and somebody feel free to shoot me down on this one here.
Well, I might.
A lot of the when the the affordable housing overlay was being pushed, mm-hmm. so much of the concern was about residential lots here, there, and everywhere and whatever. But a lot of us at the time believed that this was really about the ability for Housing Authority and Justice Sotomayor to put more units on the properties they already own, right? Yeah. Because they would be permitted to do so without any objection. And then
but you're why, starting why, to why see couldn't that. They do that before if they already own the property?
Well, because the thing is, people could have a right to object. There were zoning limitations. There's still zoning limitations apply to all those.
Okay.
Previously,
well, I know we didn't agree on the AHO, and I think in this case, to me, the AHO makes more sense than the missing middle. Or
right, but let's understand what AHO is actually what it's in reality turning into is basically a means through which. Housing Authority or Justice Start or some of the nonprofit housing providers can actually build more units on properties they already own.
I say go for it. That's me. Well, I'm sorry. I disagree. Because it provides housing. We keep saying we want affordable housing. Right. It's already in an area that has it. And I'm sorry, just shut up some of these people. I know I'm being harsh, but it's open space
The argument that this is about distributing it citywide is completely shot down then, because you are in fact concentrating it into those places where
Doing it where it makes sense. First of all,
I'm not disagreeing with you,
Robert, even with the AHO to come up with the kind of money, even, that they're allowed as of right, they still are going to be outbid by a lot of private developers. So it makes sense to start where you own. Okay, let's stop
going.
We'll see. I just think it's fine. It looked fine to me, and people need housing.
Yeah. So lots of interesting things happening, I would say. We had it up at, not to necessarily focus entirely on council meetings, but yesterday, for those of us who spend a lot of time in and around Central Square, I always find it interesting. So there was a proposal to put some extra funds to do some, basic upkeep and improvements
the
Central Square Library.
Yes,
right?
I read. Yeah.
But now I think that was all well and good. And yes, anybody who's really paid attention to Central Square over the many years is aware that there are lots of ideas that have floated about relocation of parking resources and should the Green Street garage be, could you add more levels to that, especially if you're going to be taking away other parcels for example, Starlight Square, or if you wanted to build some housing on one of the other parking lots. So a lot of these discussions have been floating around for some time. But I just found it interesting that there was a relatively small capital request yesterday to do some improvements, which are sorely needed. And with the acknowledgement that there'll probably be some bigger plans down the road, and this is just a start. But boy, did it turn into like a rhetorical little ping pong match of counselors trying to almost outbid each other on who could be grander.
Like, let's have housing on the second
floor. Let's put up another 19-story building.
Right, and I don't know, 19th story, but let's get rid of the parking.
No, that's what he said.
Cars. No, even Zondervan, because,
Well, Zondervan, that's interesting. I actually think, if you're going to be doing something significant, and if you're going to be shutting down some parking lots, maybe you want to actually add a little extra capacity there.
Yeah.
But the Zondervan worldview says, just matter-of-factly says, soon we'll have no need for parking.
What about all those people that don't have driveways, and when you have winter and you have to park your car, they're allowed to park there?
Or the people who actually own or work in businesses who actually come in from Belmont and they'll park in the garage.
Because we noticed the bicycle lanes, which, they're great, but they take away parking spaces. So you're not going to, we're not going to get rid of cars right away. And
what kind of progressive are you, Judy? Yeah. Don't you know we have to get rid of the evil fossil fuel?
I am not a progressive. I'm a moderate, or I'm an old-fashioned liberal.
I'm more than happy to completely jettison any characterization of myself as progressive.
I've never thought
it does not make me regressive.
Well, if progressive means all those things, being all electric, all vegetarian, no TV, I wouldn't say no TV, but what I'm saying. It's just
you use the term a classic liberal. I think of myself as a moderately good liberal, meaning I want to take care of people, but the notion about sort of revolution,
Because, well, because I don't
when you talk about revolution, you can count me out, as John Lennon said.
Oh, wow. I remember that one.
Yeah. No, I'm just not for that. So,
yeah. No, I'm moderation. That's why I'm moderate, because I just feel like, you know, maybe things have to be worked a little slower. But,
and sensibly.
And I appreciate the radical ends, because it does define to me the middle and what's possible. But that's, you know, that's just one take on it.
You know, I just see so much of it, maybe because I've become such a hardened cynic, is just different mechanisms for political organizing.
Oh,
you know? And, you know, and it's, I mean, I, again, didn't want to obsess on this particular topic here, but, you know, I was, I have some sitting over there. What? Actually, I can show some examples of it here.
What?
I was sort of watching, you know, so there's different political subgroups within the city, like the Better Cambridge Group and the Citizens Coalition, the Residents Alliance and Our Revolution or whatever. Yeah. And it's just been kind of fascinating to me, sort of
Democratic Socialists of America, who's basically
trying to find footholds in the Cambridge local politics in one way or another.
They speak all the revolution. Time. They speak it.
Yeah. You know, I've kind of reached the point now where almost all political rhetoric I hear is just, to me, it's just like, okay, who are you trying to organize today? You know, it's kind of funny. And there's actually some rallies this week, I think.
Really?
I think on Thursday there was a planned rally by people who were opposed to the so-called missing middle housing zoning petition.
Oh, yeah. I think I saw
right.
that.
So there was going to be a big rally down at City Hall, and there's still going to be a rally apparently at City Hall, but subsequently, because of groups like the Black Response, and I don't honestly know who they are, but
it's the same people that did the whole public safety thing.
Yeah, but so the thing is, so what you got are groups of like four people with a name, you know, basically, and then they're, you know, so the Residents Alliance is probably four people plus a mailing list. Black Response is, I think, four people plus a mailing list, etc. I wouldn't be surprised if ABC is four people plus a mailing list.
Yeah.
But the thing is that they were all kind of like jostling for position right now and kind of getting these very strange little allegiances and, you know, to be perfectly honest, not divorced from the individual political fortunes of certain counselors, who are using these organizations.
No, they
almost
need
like
them.
Personal devices. You know, but so anyway, there was going to have this rally. I have flyers here. You might have seen some of them posted up around here for this Thursday. So now it's the Black Response Group, the Democratic Socialists, the Cambridge Residents Alliance. They're all dead set against the missing middle, which would one would assume means they're dead set against the ABC group that brought it. But then again, 2 weeks from now, it's liable to be, no, we're totally in love with the ABC group.
Well, but maybe you needed something so radical to then say, okay, how about multifamily in certain areas? How about the parking requirements thing? Because to me, I understand is that if they got rid of that in some of the areas that people could put that second apartment in their house because they wouldn't have to do the parking requirement.
You know, there is actually, there are reasonable things to do here.
Exactly.
You know, I talked to some people. I said, maybe I should submit a petition that basically does the things that make sense and throws away the things that don't make much sense. Well, you know, for example, I do think it's a good idea. Well, I always believed it's better to have some density near transit. I think most that's pretty easy to sell.
Yeah.
I think that having absolute parking requirements, especially in on-site parking requirements in places where there's ample on-street space is
ridiculous.
I think we should waive a lot of those.
Right. And that would really free up a lot of those people to put that unit in their house.
Right. I think that allowing multifamily just units in places makes some sense. Yep. Do I absolutely feel that the resident B and resident C district should be 0.5 if they are in?
I don't want all the residences to be in. I mean,
right? I thought the missing middle thing was missing sense.
Oh,
you know, it was all about this sort of monolithic, you know, density for its own sake worldview that
insane,
right? Right, but the thing is that, you know, could they have gotten sufficient votes? It's quite possible because of the way the politics could have worked. But for whatever reason, it's currently pulled back. It would be allowed to expire. That's my understanding.
Okay.
And then will it come back in a different form? possible, yeah. You know, because well, everybody about, wants to claim a victory.
I know, but people were referring back to Patty Nolan's order a while ago or whatever about the single family.
Well, it was an order that basically called just to begin a conversation, but there was no specific proposal. Okay. In retrospect, if you actually were to take some of that discussion that grew out of that, and then you might actually have the beginnings of something reasonable people could agree upon, you know?
Let's face it, I think everyone was talking about West Cambridge. That was the bottom. The unsaid words were, we're not dense enough in those areas where you have those big houses on big lots. I'm sorry. That to me was the message, because we certainly are dense enough in the rest of the city.
Right, right. And so, and you know, and if people wanted to talk about adjusting the allowable floor area ratio in the Res B or Res A districts, right, and you nudge it up a bit, I would be completely open to that discussion. Uh-huh. Those numbers they were not like born back in the Stone Age and have never changed in the millennia. You know, they can be adjusted but you know, going from, to me, the whole notion about going from 0.5 to 1.25 in one fell swoop was offensive.
Yeah.
Taking a already pretty densely developed residency one districts, like, you know, I'm in a mixed district, but the residential part is governed by residency one, except that we don't have any side setbacks between properties, which makes it really hard.
You
could build a brick wall right up against my building.
That's right.
You know? Mm-hmm. But you know, then in terms of what's the permissible density, 0.75 may not be perfect, but it's not bad. And jacking that to 1.25 to me made no sense at all. And just the fact that you might be able to find a block or two someplace in the city that are that high, but you actually would be hard pressed to find any block in the city that is that high. You know, that doesn't justify this as necessarily being a good public policy.
And also, you know, I think some people that, maybe not the actual people that wrote this, but the people that are really supporting it, you cannot just look at a three family that exists today and say, okay, we're going to take that two family and make it three family. It's really going to be easy. There's different codes today, different rules about firewalls. I spoke to someone who knows that. I mean, it costs a lot to do that kind of renovation to make it, because their whole thing is we want to, not the cubes. We wanted it to be one building. Okay, I understand that, but these are not going to be cheap. And that $750,000, I'm sorry, I couldn't afford that. There's a lot of housing out there that is on the level of what they're talking about. I mean, I maybe don't Market Central. You look at, there's a lot of apartments. Don't say we have a housing issue. We have a housing issue for people that can't afford it. That's really what it is.
One of the other objections that I have, just generally speaking, and this goes beyond just the housing issue. This also goes to other kind of social service provisions, et cetera. Yeah. It's that there is a kind of a unilateralism viewpoint that some people in Cambridge have. They have this notion that somehow if there's a shortage of housing units in the metropolitan area, and there is, that in fact, Cambridge should therefore accelerate it while every other city in town does nothing.
We have a higher percentage of affordable housing built than any other city around here.
Right. If there's a problem with drug addiction,
we should take
in the region and certainly in the urban core, then Cambridge should open up every possible facility. And I respect the intention. Let's address the problem. But to whatever degree, Cambridge policies consistently and almost intentionally leave every other city in town thoroughly off the hook. To me, makes no sense. You know, now I don't know. Maybe this is one of the downsides of not having any kind of. I mean, we have a Metropolitan Area Planning Council that makes recommendations.
Yeah.
There is a Metropolitan Planning Organization. We don't have county government. I don't necessarily want to bring it back because it was nothing but patronage anyway.
Right. Yeah.
But I don't think we do a very good job of, in terms of transportation planning or housing planning, for the region. You know, I mean, I always like to point out to people, I grew up in New York City, and you know, when Brooklyn and Manhattan started to get pretty overstuffed, it just moved out into Queens. And I grew up in Queens, and they built a transportation network, subway lines and more to support that. And, you know, so the city grew and it filled out, and, you know, and there were lots of apartment buildings in Flushing, New York, I assure you.
Yeah.
You know, so there are ways of doing that, but when you take a unilateral viewpoint, and I think it's kind of a problem with New England, we have this kind of Balkan view, you know, every city and town unto itself. So a town not too far away will do everything they can to block housing, transportation, resources, et cetera. And then, you know, so one or two towns will basically then accelerate it. And to me, that's not really solving problems.
But that's the old, you know, let's keep certain elements out. I mean, it really spans a lot of things.
Right. I mean, the red line should have been built out to Route 128.
Redlining in many ways.
Well, that's the red line.
I know, but it is definitely.
So anyway, this is a topic that could definitely go on for ages, to be sure. By the way, one other thing probably worth mentioning, we should probably talk about it some more. So today is the first day officially, and I think the state legislature may still do some 11th hour extensions of some of the emergency regulations, but not only having public meetings here, but the issue of, I mean, I'm curious what's going to happen with the election rules, right? Is mail-in voting going to be a possibility? Yeah. Because if they don't do an extension, it's not a possibility. And there are a lot of campaigns are already kind of counting on.
So when is that going to be decided?
You know, they could be decided today. We'll see. I mean, I know that they were supposed to pass a bunch of things like these drinks to go and other kind of provisions.
Oh, yeah, that.
By midnight, they failed to do so.
Oh, okay, right.
I was reading something today. They may actually do some of that today. You know, the eviction moratorium, I think, expired.
Right.
You know, if I really wanted to kick somebody out, I might have raced down to file the eviction papers today.
Okay, we have 9 seconds left. So we'll continue some of the topics.
We'll come back in a few minutes of excitement.
All right.
We'll see you then.
See you then.